Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode.
Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. Today, we're talking about the topic, Dear Younger Me, so to speak. We are talking about a blog post that my friend Lynn Howard wrote about what I would tell my non-parent self as a children's pastor. And as I read this, I was thinking, you know, this is good advice, not just for those kidmin leaders that are single or don't have kids yet, but even veteran kids pastors that have kids or don't have kids. It doesn't really matter. I just thought, regardless, this was great advice for children's pastors to think about when they're talking about parents and when they're looking at parents. Because one of the things that I've noticed on different Facebook groups is there sometimes is a real cynicism sometimes towards parents. Sometimes it's because they don't want to serve or this and that. Or they're late picking up their kids after church. Had that a few times. And so sometimes we get this attitude towards parents. And I thought what Lynn said was some good reminders. So I just said, hey, Lynn, I got to have you on the podcast to talk about this because this blog post was really good. And she's got a bunch of other great blogs. So we'll talk about her blog at the end of this episode. But Lynn, welcome to the KMC. I'm so glad to have you on.
Hey, Tom. Thank you so much.
So we're talking about this blog post. Like I said, you titled it, What I Would Tell My Non-Parent Self as a Kids Pastor. You spent some time as a children's pastor. Tell us a little bit about your background and then what made you decide to write this blog post.
Yeah. So I've been a children's pastor for kind of a long time, I guess. About 13 years full-time in ministry. But for a decade of that time, I was not a parent. And I've also now most recently been involved in publishing and children's ministry curriculum and writing curriculum and editing and that kind of thing. And I have two amazing kids. I know I'm still kind of young in my parenthood journey. My kids are 1 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still, you know, I'm still like in the young kid, maybe toddler phase.
Yes.
Which I know is totally different from the elementary phase. but all the phases are fun. You know, it just keeps getting better and better. But I love children's ministry. I love empowering parents and helping kids grow in their faith. I love, you know, creating resources. But I will say this, for the first time in my children's ministry journey, I have gone from being the children's ministry leader to being just the parent, like nothing else. I'm just going to church, dropping my kids off. It's very weird. I like it. I've been going to an awesome church. And so I was kind of, you know, this blog post was me kind of thinking through what it feels like to be on the other side. Yeah. I've been the children's pastor, honestly. Like I have been in the place where I would kind of roll my eyes and say, you know, oh, parents, they're so difficult to deal with. Kids are so easy. Parents, they're irrational and they complain and they are so overprotective or they don't care about behavior. You know, all the things. They're late, they're disorganized, blah, blah, blah. I've had those thoughts before, some of them out loud, I'm ashamed to say. And now I'm on the other side. I am the parent, you know, whose kid will cry going into the nursery, or I'm the parent who forgets to label their sippy cup or bring a change of clothes for, you know, potty accidents or all those things. I'm that parent now.
Yeah. But that's okay because it does give you, and so that's why, I mean, really this is kind of an open letter to our community. And I thought, man, this is so good because there's some great advice. In fact, your first piece of advice that you come right out with is this idea of don't make judgments about crying babies or kids who throw tantrums or parents' decisions about this. Walk that out for us. Why? Mm-hmm. Because obviously you're seeing mm-hmm. this from a whole different side now.
Oh, for sure. As a young children's ministry leader, I can definitely remember thinking, or I hate to say this, but possibly even saying out loud, you know, maybe if they brought their kid more often, their kid wouldn't cry going into the children's ministry rooms. Mm-hmm. Consistency. And, or, you know, seeing a parent ignore a behavior that I thought should be disciplined and thinking, well, maybe they need to deal with that issue instead of ignoring it. It's judgmental, you know, but when you are a parent, you might be, you know, choosing your battles. You might know that your kid is hungry and that disciplining that behavior is not, you know, appropriate at that time. Or you might also have a kid that comes to the nursery every single week and still cries one week and goes in happy the next week.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just how kids are. And I think just remembering that you don't know the situation and, you know, withholding judgment is, it takes wisdom. And sometimes I just wish that I could go back and tell myself to withhold judgment and don't try to put assumptions on parents or think that we know how they should parent, because you never know what's going on with kids. They're so unpredictable.
Right. Exactly. And so it would always be, you know, lead with grace, lead with love. And that whole idea of helping our volunteers and helping ourselves, reminding ourselves that, we don't know what happened 20 minutes before they came to church. And that, you know, we all know that things happen before that can really, you know, change everything and change our perspective about things. So, that is a great piece of advice that we all need to remember about, you know, being careful to judge and to take things really with a grain of salt when you see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. When you talk about the idea of take safety and security as serious as possible and bend other rules, that made me laugh. Because I'm like, okay, what? All right, Lynn, I get it. I won't judge anybody, but I don't know about bending. I'm a rule follower. No, just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Me,
yes.
I'm always the Pirates of the Caribbean thing of, you know, that's the pirate codes, more like guidelines, right? You know?
I was a total rule follower as a young leader. Like, if we had an age cutoff for a classroom and someone was coming to visit, like only a one-time visit, like with a cousin or something, and they wanted to go in with their sibling that was a different age or their cousin, I was like, no, this is our policy. You're this age. You're going to this room. If a three-year-old wanted to bring in a toy car, I was like, no, we are not allowed to bring, you're not allowed to bring toys in. I was like the rule follower. And like, I get it, you know, I would never tell someone to not have rules or not have policies, but I definitely think having kids of my own, there are days my three-year-old boy will literally not put down his Lightning McQueen car, like sleeps with it, naps with it, wants it in his pocket, wants to take it to church. We had one Sunday when I just knew that it was going to be a meltdown if he wasn't allowed to bring his Lightning McQueen in. And could we have had the meltdown? Yes, we could have just had the meltdown and worked through it. But at the same time, I wanted to avoid meltdowns.
Yeah.
And we got to the children's ministry door and I said, I know we're not allowed to bring in toys, but can he just bring in his Lightning McQueen today and just keep it in his pocket? And the leader said, yes, bring it on in. And he walked in so happily. Uh-huh. And I just breathed out a sigh of relief. Like, thank you that this children's ministry leader understood sometimes we can bend the rules. It's not going to kill anything. And he kept his car in his pocket and he came home happy. And I just think I held so tightly to some of these non-essential, non-safety related policies and rules, and I did not bend. And I would love to go back and tell myself it's okay. Yeah. For the most part, it's important to follow them, but I would say take it as a case-by-case basis and be flexible. And do not bend on safety policies. Yes. Anything that has to do with safety and security, absolutely do not ever make exceptions or bend on those. But I think the other rules, I think sometimes we need to be a little bit flexible.
Yes. I love that. I've always tried to have the mantra, be flexible with joy, that we want to, you know, we want to have that joy for us, but we also want to have that joy for those we minister to. And that's really where relationship matters. If it doesn't break a safety rule or security rule, then why not especially when it comes to, I love that you said that, for those new families that are coming in. There's nothing worse for a church to do than to say, well, we're, because what it does is, it don't you agree that it says we're more concerned about and more focused on our rules than we are focused on your kid.
Yeah.
And that just sends a terrible message to those that are checking out the church.
Yeah.
Those that are visiting, because they're going to go, wow. You know, I remember back when my kids were young, that's been a while. But I remember visiting, I moved around. I was a traveling missionary. So I visited churches almost every Sunday. So my poor kids were in new places every weekend practically.
Mm.
And I'll never forget this one church that we went into, because a lot of times my kids ended up sitting with my wife because we found places that weren't willing to do that. They wouldn't let my daughter stay with her brother. And mm-hmm. so that was the only way she was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, they're like, well, he can always stay with her. Well, yeah, that doesn't going to work well for him either. And it wasn't a win-win for either one of them at that point. And yeah, so I get what you're saying. And I'm glad that you said that, because I think all of us as leaders need to take a check about what's the most important things we can do.
Right.
And so, yeah, bending the rules a little more is a good, I like that. I like that.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So your next tip in your blog was about, and this is so good, is the idea of giving parents more grace. I think it kind of ties in a little bit at the beginning, but what are you talking about right there? What's that mean to you?
Yeah. So I can distinctly remember, I hate to say this, I sound like I was the worst children's pastor ever, but I can remember, like, we had a cutoff like 15 minutes after service check-in close. I mean, 15 minutes honestly is not that long after a service has started. But I can remember, yeah, I can remember thinking they should have gotten up and come to church and gotten ready on time like all the rest of us. Like, no, if you get here 16 minutes late, I'm sorry, you can just take your kids to big church. I probably
it
wasn't
really
that mean.
Locked it down like that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't let them come in. And now I've literally walked into church like, as a parent, like, I know that you can be ready to go, have the bags packed, and then you have a diaper blowout or a potty accident.
Yep.
Or you've lost Lightning McQueen the world is going to end and you have to find Lightning McQueen. And I know that sometimes things are out of your control. And I have literally walked into church 28 minutes after the service started, almost in tears, embarrassed. I feel, you know, ashamed walking in late. And thinking, I just want to get to church. I'm already here. Should I turn around? Should I go home? No, I'm already out the door. I'm just going to keep going. And when I walk into church to check in, I know I'm late, but the check-in people don't make me feel like I'm an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what? It's fine. Come on in. We're so glad you're here. And they don't try to make me feel bad or ashamed, which I already am. And I think that I am ashamed that I used to not give grace to people, because there are so many things being a parent, that like sending my kid in without a sippy cup with a label on it, or sending my potty training kid in without a change of clothes on accident, or, you know, just all the things that that happen as a parent that are out of our control. I think we just need to, as children's ministry leaders, just give parents grace, you know, like, don't make us feel embarrassed if we overreact about something, or if we get protective of our kids. I think that's a natural thing for parents, but just giving them as much grace as possible and just showing them so much love and so much patience, even going, you know, further as far as like having extra labels for sippy cups, having extra changes of clothes. Yes. Like being prepared for things that could come up and not make them feel bad about forgetting things is such a huge way to just love on those parents.
Yeah. I'll never forget a friend of mine's church. They had like extra little t-shirts and shorts or pants for the winter time. And so if a kid had an extra mess, you know what? And the parents forgot about it. And it was funny because they made these little t-shirts up for the church that were for the preschool department that were really cute. I don't even remember what they said on them, but they had this extra set of clothes, and they even told the parents, just keep them. That's fine.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring them back. And the parents were like, wow. Oh, thank you. You know, and we're so sorry we forgot this, you know, and it, yeah, you're right. It didn't make them feel bad. Another friend of mine, they have us because their church, they have the same thing where they were locking the children's ministry at a certain point. And I understand the idea of, hey, you don't want to interrupt the flow of, you know, more so for elementary than preschool. Preschool, I'm like, okay, they can come in.
Right.
That's not
gonna or if you're right. If they're like moving classrooms and it wouldn't be safe to add kids in after a certain point, I totally understand that. Yeah. Or sometimes your check-in system actually does shut down at a certain point. So that's
But I had a friend of mine's church where they actually set up a special place and they had volunteers that hung out and they had their own little class for kids that arrived late. And sometimes it was only like one or two. But they still provided ministry to those kids so the parents could still get into service and catch the rest of the message. The kids still got to be involved in some things and have some activities that were meaningful. They didn't just sit there. And I thought, that's cool. That's taking people where they are and how they are. And it's not something they advertise. It's just something they do. They do it because they know taking care of those kids is better than forcing them to go into the service with their parents. Because again, that communicates, you know, you've got to come on our terms. You've got to come in when we say you got to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There are times where, you know, the families could have made the choice to just turn around and go watch another church online or not even show up at all.
Right.
But they did, they made it. So I think that's a great reminder that the church is supposed to be where people find grace. And so as a children's ministry, what can we do? It's a great question to ask your team as you're listening to this podcast. What can we do to show parents more grace? How can we help them so that when they come in and they've had a terrible week, a lot of parents, they're starting to you know, get into that time of year where schools started back up and kids are adjusting to the new normal. I think this is one of those times where a lot of parents need more grace.
Yes, definitely.
And if we're just forcing them into our mold, boy, that's not a great message. So I'm super glad you brought that up because that's a good, honest feedback from seeing both perspectives. You've been on both sides of this. You get it as a kids pastor, but you get it as a parent. That's really good. I like that. I like that a lot. Now your next tip sounds a little scary to some leaders who struggle with parents serving or not serving. So I got to ask, what do you mean when you say in your blog post, don't make life harder than it needs to be? Because you're talking about getting parents to serve. And there's been a lot of discussion recently on some Facebook groups about should we require parents to serve at some point? How do you feel about that? What now that you've been on both sides of the fence here, what's your perspective on that? Because I think this would be really interesting.
Yeah. I would not recommend requiring parents to serve, and I would not recommend requiring parents to serve ever.
Yeah.
And I can totally identify with the children's pastor who might be struggling and thinking, gosh, you know, we need volunteers so badly, and your kids are here every week anyway, so it's only fair that if your kids are getting use of the ministry that you're participating in providing it. I can identify with that, and I, you know, have been in a place where it was really tough, and I just wanted to say, well, if you want this ministry to be open, then you serve here.
Yeah.
So like I get that. But also I would not require parents to serve. I think that first of all, not all parents are good with kids or like kids or gifted in that area. And I don't want a volunteer in my ministry who doesn't like kids and doesn't want to be there. I also think that, some parents might just honestly just need a break. They might be struggling with something. They might need time to get poured into or going through a difficult situation or have sin in their lives. I mean, we don't know their situation, and to just make them serve as leaders when they're not in a place to be there, I think, can be really not a good situation. And also, I think it changes the culture and atmosphere of your ministry. I think whenever you have volunteers, quote unquote, who are paid or forced or required to be there, I think it can almost suck the energy and the life and out of your culture. And what I want as a children's pastor is I want a culture where I've created such an environment of energy and excellence and such a contagious place to be that it's just contagious, that people want to be there. When I've cast such a compelling vision and created just this excitement around serving, that people are so excited to be there and passionate to be there, and they're using their gifts. And then I also think, too, that parents, especially parents, I can speak from experience of one-year-olds and three-year-olds, are sometimes just tired, and maybe they would prefer to serve in an area not with one-year-olds. And so I think that maybe looking outside of the parent world for volunteers, sometimes we need to get creative, like teenagers. We can look at teenagers, college students, young adults, young singles, young marrieds without kids. Parents of teenagers make great children's ministry volunteers sometimes, yes. Or parents of older kids, empty nesters, grandparents, all of those types of people can be great children's ministry volunteers, and parents also can as well. But I think that it's just not for everybody. And I think it's really important to not expect too much of parents, not just serving, but just in general. I think one of the mistakes I used to make is I would have too many expectations, too many things for them to remember, to do different programming, different meetings, different events, I think I made life so hard, and being a parent, hard. There's one time I remember as a children's pastor, a young children's pastor, I had this, I can't even remember what it was, but some paper I handed out to all the elementary parents, and I wanted them to fill something out every day for a month and then bring it back the exact, Sunday a month later, all filled out. Not one single parent did it. And I was like, what in the world? But you know what? That was way too much to ask of parents. I should not have given them something with such a high expectation that it was just to make their life difficult, especially if you have elementary school kids. Yeah. Your life is already difficult enough, and you already have enough things to put your brain energy to. And children's ministry just shouldn't be something to make your life more difficult.
Right. That's for sure. And so, don't you think that's where having a children's pastor that talks to parents a lot and asks questions to see where they are and what's being used. Engagement with parents is another hot topic in a lot of circles on Facebook, is how do we engage parents and what can help parents, better. And we're going to talk about how to communicate with parents in your next tip. But when you think about this making life easier, what are some things that you think a kid's pastor can do to make things a little simpler? Do you have any specific things that you're like, boy, if I were back being a direct children's pastor right here, right now, here's what I would do differently. What kind of things come to mind?
Well, first of all, I would evaluate my ministry and talk with the parents, get feedback from them often, make it a safe place for them to give real feedback and not get defensive when they do give something that seems critical. I would ask their input. I would make it as easy as possible to get from the parking lot into your child's classroom. The parking lot should be easy. The check-in, the signage, all the policies should not require them to jump through hoops. It should be as easy and streamlined as possible. So I would look through that. And then also just giving them good information. Not making them have to guess about what Bible stories their kids are going to learn, or when the events are. I think giving them, just maybe a monthly handout or parent emails, or I had one church that, like right after a service, I got an email, like literally on my phone as my kids were walking out with what they learned and some questions that I could ask them that day about the Bible story, which was really cool. And then it also told me what they were going to learn next week so I could prepare my kids in advance. And I thought that was really cool. So just giving, making life easy for them, giving them easy answers, not, you know, making sure that parents don't have to jump through hoops or have too many expectations on them as well. I think those are all good things to think about.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I think that's where we need to start innovating more. And because I just don't see a lot of innovation in that area. We're not, I don't think we're leveraging technology and different things that we have quite enough. We're still relying on the take home, which I always call it a minivan floor liner.
Yeah, the paper airplanes.
Yeah, I mean, it just lines your the floor of your mini. I mean, it keeps the carpet on the minivans clean. I mean,
good point.
but we do rely on that, and we rely on it's funny, emails. And you know, I got so many emails coming through. I don't even look. In fact, I used to track. We had a system in one of my churches that we could track emails, how many actually got opened. And it was crazy how many never, ever got opened. I could send it out to 300 parents and get less than 5% opening an email. A text message with the email attached to it got a lot more interaction and yeah, doing some things like that. I've seen some people doing some real creative little video recaps. And so
that's
they send
awesome.
That video right after church and say, "Hey parents, here's what we talked about in here and here." I like stuff like that. I think that's brilliant. That does make, it does set up the win for at home, you know, on your drive home today, talk about this.
Yeah,
it was really cool. I think,
and you can't ever trust a 3-year-old when you ask them what they learned at church. My son will say, like, "We learned about swimming in water." No, you didn't. I know you didn't learn that. "What was your Bible story?" "It was about skateboards." "No, it wasn't."
That's awesome. Yeah. So, you know, we want to set parents up to win. And I think that's huge. And so that leads into the next tip that you had, because, you know, I know a lot of leaders struggle with getting FaceTime with parents. And so really then we need to look at how do we leverage our volunteers then. And so you say teach volunteers how to communicate with parents. So what do you do to help volunteers to win there?
Yeah, it definitely does not come naturally to all people to speak, you know, and have good conversations with parents. I heard not too long ago in a random church that we were visiting, I heard a preschool volunteer, just a young person that I know didn't have kids of their own, say in front of a crowded hallway with all the parents' friends around, say, "Your kid was bad," as they were coming to pick their kid up. And the poor parents looked so embarrassed, and everyone around them heard, the volunteer went on, "Yeah, your kid was crazy today, just running all over, just bad today, just not listening." I could just see the hurt on those parents' faces and the embarrassment. And I just think, you know, so many volunteers may not have the sensitivity or just the skills to know how to talk to parents about behavior issues. And I'm sure the volunteer was well-intentioned and didn't, you know, even think about the fact that that wasn't the most sensitive way to address the issue. But behavior issues with kids are very sensitive and need to be addressed privately and gently and with encouragement. And I think that as a young children's pastor, I was still learning how to do that, but also I didn't know how to train my volunteers to do that. And so I told all my volunteers, if there's a behavior issue, I only want to be the one to deal with it. But the more I've grown as a leader, I've realized, you know, volunteers can be trained how to talk about parents well about behavior issues. And I think that's something, you know, to talk about with your volunteers all the time. I think you can give them mock scenarios, like, how would you talk about if a kid gets bitten by another kid or gets hurt by somebody or a kid has a behavior issue, or talk with parents of a child who has special needs. Like, how would you talk through these types of things? Or if a child is crying, you know, the whole time or something. And so I actually had a volunteer team meeting where all we did was we had mock parent conversations, and I chose one of my volunteers who was very good at that and had them talk through, here are some phrases you can use, here are some things not to say, here are some tips for doing it, you know, privately, and that type of thing.
That's excellent. Just imagine people listening going, man, I've never thought about having that conversation with my volunteers about how to have a conversation. Because, you know, they know they're only going to get 5 minutes at, you know, usually or less with a parent coming and going. So you got to make those moments count. And and you can build up, or you can, boy, you could tear down real fast. I could.
Oh my gosh.
I just cringe at the thought of that volunteer doing that.
Yes. And then the best thing that the volunteers can do is tell the parents something specific about their child, such as your child was so kind to another child today, or was so good at sharing, or was just worshiping very passionately. I think when you can tell the parents something specific that shows, you know, something great about their kid, let them know that their kid was awesome and that you love having their kid there. As a parent, that just makes your heart so happy and makes you feel so connected and so excited to be at that church.
Wow. Your final tip in this blog post says, every single child is the most important thing in the world to their parents, so treat all the kids that way.
Yes.
That's powerful, because just like you just said, saying something like that to a parent, sometimes they may only be hearing negatives about their kid, you know, at school or something, if they're struggling with adjustments and stuff. And for you to say something that was a good thing could blow a kid, you know, a family, you know, just make their day, make their year. So this idea of hey, yeah, that is their little ray of sunshine in their world.
Yes.
So how does the church do that well?
Yeah. I mean, we might see a room full of kids, and we might see an annoying kid that, you know, is not listening or is crying as they're walking in. But that child, the one that's crying, or the one that's crazy, or the group of kids, every single one of them is the most important thing in the world to their parents and also to God. Every single child is so loved and so valuable to God. And I just think keeping that perspective in mind as we're teaching them and as we're welcoming them and as we're loving on them, or even as we're disciplining them, just keeping in mind that this is somebody's baby and this is, you know, somebody's treasure. And with how we're treating them, I think is so important. And as a mom, I know what it's like to watch my 3-year-old walk into a big scary room where he doesn't know anybody, a room full of kids, and just to watch him walk in nervously and to think, somebody please be nice to him, somebody pay attention to him. Yeah. That's every single parent is thinking that about their kid. And just, I think if our leaders and our volunteers keep that perspective in mind, that every kid deserves love, every kid deserves grace, and deserves to be, you know, comforted and treated well and just shown the love of Christ, because every child is God's child, I think that will change the way that we do ministry.
Wow. That's good. It's good. So your final piece of advice is really good, and I love that. But let me ask this question, because I like asking this question of all the leaders that come on the KMC. Well, especially when it's their first time, how has your leadership style changed over the years? And if you could go back and give one tip to a younger leader, what would that be? What would be your one go-to piece of advice?
Such a good question. And I think that when I was younger in leadership and when I first started, I did not like delegating. I did not like recruiting. I was not very good at it. I wanted to do everything myself. As I grew in my leadership and I just realized that instead of delegating, tasks, if I really want my volunteers to take ownership, I think it's really important to delegate authority also, to delegate them and to give them ownership and empower them to make decisions and to handle situations that might come up, and, you know, to let them lead and to let them have real authority in the ministry. And that I would, even so much that I would be able to actually go sit in the service and not have to be available for every possible thing that could happen because I trusted my team. I knew that they were going to do great. I had trained them and empowered them. And if you're a young leader right now and you cannot sit in the service, then I would encourage you to evaluate who's on your team. How can you empower them? How can you actually let them take real authority in the ministry? Because people can handle it. I used to think that I was the only one that could handle every situation. But if you've trained your people, if you trust them, if they're, there for the right reasons, then you should be able to sit in the church worship service. And I hate that so many of you don't get to, and you should trust that they can handle it. And I promise you, they'll be more committed in their ministry when you've given them trust and leadership and ownership rather than just tasks to do.
All right. That was gold. That was gold. Take that to the bank, people. That was some great advice, Lynn. Hey, I am so glad that you shared your heart with us as a parent, but also as somebody who can totally relate to the kid ministry community as part of the community. You're seeing and giving us a perspective that some of us have had and forgotten. Some of us have never had. And I love that because we all need to be challenged in our thinking. So I hope as you've listened to the podcast, you've been asking yourself some questions about, am I doing some of these things? Am I guilty of judging some families, or have I not given grace enough to others? And is there some areas that I can do, make it easier for parents? So take heart some of this advice and learn from the experience. That's really good. So Lynn, tell us a little bit about your blog and where people can find it. I'll put a link into it in the show notes as well. But I'm sure people are going to want to read more. I would encourage them to read more of your stuff because it's really good. And so how can they connect up with you?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. And I love all the stuff that you, do for the children's ministry world, Tom, and just how great of a resource you are. And I just love blogging, at lynnhoward.com, LYNNE Howard, HOWARD. And I'm on social media, lynnhoward7 for Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, I think. And I would just love to connect with you, with anyone who wants to talk about children's ministry or parenting or leadership, or maybe being a mom in ministry. Cause I know that's a whole other world. And there's, if anyone wants to connect, I'd love to talk with you. But thanks for having me on.
Cool. Well, we are so glad that you've been a part of this. And again, thanks for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. If you're somebody who needs coaching, if you're a new leader, you've been in ministry for a short time or even for a long time and you need some fresh perspective, check out KMC Coaching. You can go to kmccoach.net. There's information there. I would love for you to be checking out. Watch the KMC Facebook group, Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. We've got some new coaching groups that'll be launching all the time. We have some one-on-one coaching available. So dive in on some of that and learn from experience. That's what it's there for, that you can leverage. So thanks again for listening to this edition of the KMC. Join us again real soon.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.